Greek mythology has always been the stuff of music drama. These stories have a grandeur and an emotional force that have enraptured any number of composers. Among them was George Friedrich Handel, who brought mythology to the fore not so much in his operas as in his oratorios. Hercules is generally thought of as an oratorio, but Handel actually called it a musical drama. Any way you look at it, this is an amazingly moving work of staggering musical genius. After being totally neglected for well over 100 years and then relegated to the concert hall for decades thereafter, Hercules is finally being discovered by opera companies and their audiences. Hello, I'm Roger Pines of Lyric Opera of Chicago. It's my pleasure to introduce you to the glories of Hercules. I'll be illustrating my comments with a recording made in the year 2000 by celebrated interpreters of Baroque repertoire, soprano Lynn Dawson as Eileen, mezzo-soprano Anna-Sophie von Otter as Dejanira, countertenor David Daniels as Lycus, tenor Richard Croft as Hillis, and bass baritone Guidon Sachs as Hercules, with Mark Minkowski conducting the chorus and original instrument orchestra of Les Musiciens du Louvre. Handel's large-scale vocal works included more than 40 operas, but he also produced 26 oratorios. That genre would be part of his professional life for more than half a century. Dictionaries generally define the word oratorio simply as a work involving orchestra, chorus, and soloists, meant for concert performance with not much interaction between characters. But there is constant and riveting interaction between the characters in Hercules. In the opera house, the stimulus of the stage can really help this piece fulfill its greatness. Handel began work on Hercules in midsummer of 1744, 5 months after the premiere of Semele, another English-language work that opera houses are now performing regularly. Being incredibly industrious, Handel finished Hercules in less than 2 months. The libretto was by a well-known scholar, Thomas Broughton, who based it on episodes in Ovid's Metamorphoses and Sophocles' play The Women of Trachis. Up to this point, Handel oratorios had been dealing with religious subjects. Most recently, he'd written Samson, Messiah, Israel in Egypt, and Saul. With Semele and Hercules, the public was struck immediately by these unexpected departures into Greek mythology. It was as if Jane Austen suddenly decided to write a crime novel. In January 1745, Hercules premiered in London at the King's Theatre, the venue for more than 20 of Handel's operatic premieres. Most oratorios have premiered in a place of worship or in a concert hall. This was neither. But remember Handel's label, musical drama, and musical drama belongs in a theatre. Hercules was done in concert rather than as a stage production, but the fact that Handel premiered it in the same theater that had witnessed so many of his operas speaks for itself. Still, it wasn't a success, and during the 14 remaining years of Handel's life, he gave it only 3 more performances, in 1749 and in 1752. People look at Hercules as a hybrid. Churches that presented, say, Messiah or any of the other familiar oratorios weren't going to present it, and it didn't achieve a foothold in concert performances. So it disappeared. It was only in Münster, Germany, as late as 1925, that the first modern performance of Hercules took place. This piece is such a pleasure, partly because Handel's melodic inspiration never stops. Hercules is nearly 75% arias. There are also 2 duets plus 5 choruses, but it sustains our musical interest from start to finish. Long before Hercules, Handel was already a master of musical psychology. He'd proved it in operas with complicated protagonists. Think of Alcina, Xerxes, Julius Caesar. And he proves it again in Hercules, especially in the character of Dejanira. You won't find a more fascinating, musically rewarding role for mezzo-soprano in the entire Baroque repertoire. As in all other Handel operas and oratorios, the plot plays out through the recitatives, which are generally accompanied by harpsichord and cello. The singers have to deliver these dialogues with the natural inflections of speech and with the intensity of a great actor. Listen to Anna Sophie von Otter. Listen to any Handel vocal work, and the demands will become instantly clear. Beauty of sound, elegant legato, enormous flexibility, profound expression. Any singer who has all of that then has the freedom to let musical creativity really take off in the da capo arias. It's not that every aria in Hercules is a da capo, but a great many are. Da capo in Italian literally means from the head, or in music, from the beginning. The arias are structured ABA, and when the A section returns, that's the singer's signal for ornamentation. It's an accepted, even expected, part of the style. Ornamentation can enhance musical interest immensely. It can show the extent of a singer's imagination, and it can bring the singer and the audience even further into the heart of a character. Listen to David Daniels as Lycus in the A section of his first aria. Now listen to Mr. Daniels' wonderful ornamentation.